venerable religious and dear parishioners, I wanted to talk about the saint for the day because, well, for a couple of reasons. She's the patroness of music along with St. Gregory the Great, the codifier of Gregorian chant, and also St. Cecilia. And she actually lives much closer to our time, about 600 years after St. Gregory the Great. St. Cecilia was in the early church, first two or three centuries, and suffered martyrdom. And then St. Gregory the Great was pope around the year 600 AD, and some 600 years later, in the Middle Ages, we have St. Mechtild. And we're also having, providentially, our parish musical talent show after Mass. But I wanted to especially talk about her in relation to singing holy music, church music. Remember what St. Augustine says, that singing is praying twice. Why? Because the words themselves are a prayer, and when you sing them, you reinforce that message. That's the power of music. You take a spoken thing, a verbal thing, and you turn it into a musical thing, and it becomes doubly more powerful. It gets the message across. It gets into our memories more easily. And stays there, the power of music. Now, I haven't found the exact reference for this, but one of the ancient philosophers, Plato, thought that music was so powerful, he said that you can actually change society. He says, if you want to make society better or worse, just change its music. Now, that's a pretty powerful thought right there. Just change the music, and you will change society. So you see, it's not so important for us not only to stay away from bad music, bad lyrics. I mean, that just goes without saying. And bad music would be where the proper hierarchy is not observed. The three parts of music are melody, harmony, and rhythm. Other than Gregorian chant, all music has all three of those parts, or can typically have those three parts. But when the rhythm takes over, and we see this with rock and roll and rap, where instead of playing a more subdued role, the rhythm, which appeals really to our, when it's overdone, it appeals to our passions. When that's the primary thing, then we have bad music. It's like standing something on its head. It's not in the right order. So Gregorian chant is so spiritually uplifting because it's a melody. It's a pure melody. It's always got words, of course, so those are, you know, coming across to us, and it has a very gentle sort of rhythm. And rhythm is throughout all of creation. I mean, think of all the rhythms going on in your own body, your breathing, your heart beating, you know, the various organs doing their thing, working together. It's all a rhythm, one and two, one and two. So rhythm is throughout all of God's creation. It's certainly in music. But let's remember to have that proper hierarchy, that proper order, and good lyrics, you have good music. And holy music has this as well. It appeals primarily to our mind through the melody. The harmony appeals to our emotions, you might say, our heart. And there is even rhythm, but it's, of course, all in the proper proportion to each other. So as I speak, by the way, of St. Mechtild, I'm reminded of dear sister Mechtild, who was taken from us. She passed away a few years ago, but she's not a musical person, be the first one to admit that, but certainly inspired many people to a better and a more fervent living of their Catholic faith. But a little bit about St. Mechtild. She lived from 1240 to 1298. She was a daughter of one of Thuringia's noblest families, and she entered her elder sister's Benedictine convent at the age of 7 and made rapid strides in virtue and learning. By the way, this was not uncommon that many children were put in convents and monasteries early on. Of course, they had to choose of their own free will to take vows, but they got an education that way. They got spiritual formation. And for the most part, many of them stayed on and were religious. Her humility, piety, and zeal caused her to be appointed when still relatively young to direct the novitiate and the choir. And as such, she became the first teacher of St. Gertrude the Great when the latter was placed in her convent at the age of 5. Though constantly subject to physical suffering, St. Mechtild was ever intent upon singing the divine praises. And so this is why she's the patroness of music. She had a great gift of music. She used it for praising God. And as this book tells us, that our Lord even addressed her as his nightingale. As we know, nightingales are the birds known for their singing. And our Lord was just so pleased with all of that singing, that wonderful music that she was giving to God, and he addressed her as such. As far as I know, our Lord never called anybody else. So you know she has to be a patroness of good music, and especially holy music. So she was teaching St. Gertrude early on. This book tells us that the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which was became more common with St. Margaret Mary in the 17th century, it was revealed quite profoundly to St. Gertrude and even to St. Mechtild. So they felt the beating of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you might say, and really grew in that devotion, understanding the love behind our Lord's suffering, that he would lay down his life for us, that he would love us not only with the infinite love of God, but even with a human love. That's the inspiring reality of the doctrine of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Our Lord once urged St. Mechtild, "When you awake in the morning, let your first act be to salute my heart and offer me your own." Give your heart to our Lord. What a simple, powerful, and yet very effective prayer. "Jesus, I give you my heart." And that reminds me that that was a prayer that the Jesuit missionaries taught to the Native Americans in this area, the Coeur d'Alene Indians, the Flathead Indians, the Nez Perce. They taught them, give your heart to Christ. He gave you his heart. Give him your heart. And the first mission ever founded in Idaho, I believe, or at least the first church to be built, was the Mission of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is still standing to this day in Cataldo, Idaho. Some of you have seen it. So I just wanted to encourage you in regards to music, holy music. You know, try to develop that ability that you have. I believe, firmly believe, that almost everybody can sing. Not everybody can be, you know, an opera singer, obviously. But we can all sing to some extent. And you will always be praying twice when you're singing a hymn or a holy song. And even outside of church, you know, enjoying good music, St. Paul says, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. So we can certainly do this when it comes to this great gift of music, this universal language that God has given. This doesn't pertain to music, but I will share it with you. It's our Lord. One more thing our Lord said to St. Mechtild in his revelations to her. "It gives me real pleasure when men hope great things from me, and I will always grant them more than they expect." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.